This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Monday, November 2, 2015, the commemoration of the faithful departed, or All Souls, by Father William Doc Holliday.
No man lives to himself or dies to himself. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Roman Catechism teaches us that every pious and holy action done by one belongs to and becomes profitable for all. So every pious and holy action done by you is profitable for all. That is all that are in the body of Christ, sort of using yesterday as a segue in the communion of the saints to think about all those who have gone before us and now either are the souls in purgatory or actually behold the beatific vision. The good works that we do, and throughout this next week, all of our ferial masses will be masses for the dead, and throughout the week, all those names that you submitted will be read at the altar aloud during the time of the prayers of the people. But you have to understand about it. It's not, please God, don't think of this as again some church, oh, we do this at this time of year. It is of such import that you offer the suffrages for the holy souls, family, friends, for those who, and we ought to contemplate on occasion those who have no one to pray for them. There are so many people who claim the title Christian walking the face of the earth, and if God's mercies are that they should go to purgatory without being a member of the Catholic Church in this world. During their whole time on this, a lot of them complain about the whole concept of purgatory, and they're going to breathe their last, and they're going to be there. They're going to be there and realize that it was all true, and they'll have no one of their friends to pray for them. None of their friends will pray for them because their friends still here don't believe that it exists. Just because we don't believe something doesn't mean it doesn't exist, okay? Purgatory is a real place. It is that place of cleansing. We have to appreciate that. And what you are doing for those holy souls, again, even if you don't, well, I don't know any Protestants. Well, guess what? Just on occasion, pray a prayer for the soul who is farthest, deepest in purgatory and has no one to pray for them. That work will go immensely far for your own benefit. It even starts in the way we treat the dead here. This isn't me talking. This goes back as far as St. Augustine. St. Augustine, and I'll, a couple quotes from him, and then I'll kind of flesh it out. Providing for the interment of bodies, a place at the memorials of the saints is a mark of good human affection toward the remains of our friends. The church has kind of changed her teaching a little bit over the past several decades as to what is acceptable at the time of death as far as bodies go. And I'm not going to argue that. But historically, it always has been the practice of the pious to venerate the bodies of those who've died. If you really think about it, what's the big deal? That's just a body. We are such inconsistent people. We are so completely inconsistent. It's a big deal. You can burn them, you can bury them, whatever. It's a body. It's just going to, rot anyway. We will cut each other's throats in our own immediate families for stuff, for something that someone has owned, or something that someone has used, or something that someone has worn throughout their life. Those are just things. The body is actually what that pious person, that person of faith, the vessel in which he did holy works for our Lord Jesus Christ, the vessel in which he attended Mass, the vessels that partook of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. How much more important is the body than stuff? How much more important is that? The church has a history of honoring the bodies of the dead. You read the martyrology. There are martyrs because they tried to bury the bodies of other martyrs. Martyrs used to pick up body parts. Some people read about relics and, you know, well, this is where, and you can go to Rome, this is St. John the Baptist's head. It's like, how repugnant is that? That's how much people venerated back then. It didn't even mean, if it was just a part, if it was a holy person, it was venerated. That's something that we've lost, and it's important because what it does, it speaks about our faith. It speaks and proves what we believe or what we say we believe. Again, the bodies were vessels of good works, particularly if you're talking about the martyrs and things like that. You know, these people used to go out, not only body parts, they would go out and try to wipe up the blood. And they would keep and venerate these things. Why? Because you worship this blood or you worship this body? No. It's how much this person loved our Lord Jesus Christ. How powerfully our Lord Jesus Christ drew these people to themselves to where they would give their very lives for his truth. That's how much we used to venerate bodies. And rightfully so. And that really ought to continue. Again, I'm not going anywhere, but the things that we do for our departed loved ones are truly beneficial to them. And as I said yesterday, and please don't lose this fact, what you do for them will be reciprocated. Again, that's not me, St. Augustine. He says again, even if some necessity should, through absence of all facility, not allow bodies to be interred, or in such places interred, yet should there be no neglecting of supplications for the spirits of the dead, which supplications that they should be made for all in Christian and Catholic fellowship departed. Even if you can't bury someone because of circumstances, I'm not in a position to, you know, financially to bury a person. Wartime, soldiers that die on the battlefield where there is no time to bury them. St. Augustine says that it's an important thing that if we have the chance, if we have the ability to do something pious for the deceased's body, but even more so, tremendously more so, are your supplications for their spirits, the suffrages that you offer up for them. Yet should there be no neglecting of supplications for the spirits of the dead, the prayers that we offer for the dead, the indulgences that we try to gain for them, the alms that we give for them. A lot of people kind of miss them. Oh yeah, I pray for the dead, or I offer masses for the dead. The alms that we give. I mean, somebody comes up and asks you for money on the sidewalk. If you give that alms, you shoot up a quick prayer. There's a partial indulgence for a holy soul, if you so apply it that way. We got to get into that mindset. We have to embrace that. It's glorious. That is not even to mention the masses that you should offer for them. The mass intentions. Call the office. Get people's names on the list. One mass is worth a million years of the prayers of a million people on the face of this earth. One mass for the holy souls. You know, I said before about praying for people who are dead. Well, that's really kind of ridiculous. I don't know these people. I don't. As I said before, it's so tremendously sad, and it should tremendously burden our souls that there may be souls in the darkest place in purgatory that have no family members on the face of this planet to pray for them. There's a lady in our parish, and most of you haven't seen her if you've been around for a while. It was always hard, it's still hard for me to believe that someone doesn't have anyone on the face of this planet as far as family goes, biological family. No one. No kids, no aunts, no distant relatives that just don't go. She has no one. Except for people in our parish that visit her regularly. That's the family. That's what I emphasized yesterday. But what would happen if she didn't have a parish family? Maybe she's a pious lady. Maybe she believes in Jesus, but she wasn't a Catholic. And she goes to purgatory. Who's there to pray for her? By masses. You know, and we actually generally, you know, we at every canon of the Mass, the dead are mentioned. The nameless dead. How many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of nameless souls are in purgatory? When we say that in the celebration of the Mass, when we mention these nameless dead, just the dead generally, they have no family here. They have Mother Church praying for them. How glorious is that? How absolutely glorious is that? Because without these suffrages, they would have no merit even if they're buried piously. You know, that's another, you know, end extremes. I said before, we should really endeavor to bury or inter the remains of our departed loved ones. There are a lot of people who love the heck out of this idea of the columbarium in mass, you know, because people are back there, remains are back there in the church. Remains are back there in that columbarium, and there's a mass every day. I have been involved in every single person that's back there. And when I'm sitting up here and I'm preaching and I'll talk about the dead, I'll look back there and I remember them by name. I remember them by name. I remember them at mass by name because they're there. How cool is that? You know, you really think about that. They're in a place to be because just where they're located, that's all well and good. But again, if we couldn't put them somewhere, the suffrages for people who are buried piously, if we don't pray for them, it's meaningless. I mean, you could take a casket and place it right here and it just sits here because I have millions of dollars and I'm going to give it to the church if they put my loved one's remains right up there by the altar. There used to be people buried under altars, which, you know, hey, how great is that? But those are days past. If there was a person up here and their family said, I have millions of dollars, I want, and the church said, which this one wouldn't anyway, but there are some churches that would. Okay, great. Put them right there. Put them right up there. Well, we have to walk around them, so we'll have to think about them. If no one prays for them, it doesn't make one bit of difference if they're up here. Not one bit of difference. It's our suffrages for them. Because as St. Augustine says, better it is that these things shall be superfluously done to them whom they neither hinder nor help, than lacking to them who help. There are a lot of people, a lot of our friends, even a lot of Catholics who say, what's the big deal about the All Souls thing? Why the emphasis on this dead? How depressing is that? I want to hear the warm and fuzzy part about Jesus and all the good things he does for me and how much better I'm going to make this world and never want to leave it and all these good things. I don't want to hear about the dead. The dead are the ones who ought to be right up there with the most important things that we do in church. Because, again, as St. Augustine says, if it even doesn't make any difference, maybe they're right. Maybe these people say, it doesn't make any difference about the dead. Don't pray for them. Okay. If we pray for them and that's the case, so what? Who's out anything? All right. We're praying anyway. Might as well. But that's not the case. But again, even if it was, nobody's out anything. That's not the case. They benefit from our prayers. They benefit from our sufferings. The scriptures tell us that. The Old Testament tells us that. The New Testament tells us that. And as I said before, it's a testimony to our Catholic faith. Our prayers speak of our honor of our departed loved ones. Our prayers, our masses speak of our intercession for those who have gone before us. It's a testimony to your Catholic faith to give suffrages for the dead. If you actually truly believe it, you will actually truly do it. In the name of the Father and of the Son.